Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to go to the word of the Lord today. If you'd remain standing for the reading of God's word, we're going to read from Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. Amen. It's so good to see everyone here today. To all of our guests, we welcome you to Harvest. It's our privilege to have you with us this morning, and we believe that God will touch your life and minister to you. It's good to see my niece Alyssa here today. God bless her and her friends. Amen. And praise the Lord. I want to remind you that our service schedule has kind of changed today. And we do have classes starting at 10:15, from 10:15 to 10:45. And thank you to all of our teachers, amen, that got up a little extra early and taught and ministered today. God bless all of them. Amen. And thank you to all of our music team and those others that are involved in the service that had to come here even earlier than that. And we do have prayer on Sunday mornings, prayer from 9:30 to 10 o'clock. That will be in the event center, okay? Thank you for all of you who came and spent time in prayer. It was a great atmosphere of prayer today. There's just many in there today. We appreciate that. Do want to also remind you that we still do have church family prayer on Saturdays from 6 to 8, just during that period of time. And if you can't come during that period of time and you can come some other time during Saturday, just spend some time in prayer here. It would be a blessing. God honors us when we pray, and prayer connects us to the power source. And I don't know about you, but I want the power of God to move and to work. Amen. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 9. Begin reading in verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Today I want to talk to you about some things that are missing in hell. Things missing in hell. Given the severity of the subject, I wonder if you just say, Lord, work in me. Help me, Lord. Speak to my heart today. God, I pray that your will be done. God, let your will be done. Let every single person here today, let us make the decision. Let us make the choices. Let us make the steps that we need to make in order to make it to heaven. We don't want to go to hell. We don't want to suffer that destruction. We don't want to suffer that punishment. But Lord, we want to go to heaven. That is the most important thing that we can do, is to be ready to make it to heaven. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us here today in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated today. I would like everyone who hears or sees this to know today that hell is nothing to joke about. I will never forget my great distress and burdened heart when about 10 years ago a documentary came out highlighting one of the most successful bands in the 21st century. At that time, not being familiar with this musical band's background, I was surprised to learn that these brothers had grown up in a Pentecostal church. With their own father being an evangelist, they traveled and they ministered to churches even connected with us. The lead singer told how as a child he would sleep. He made a practice of sleeping with a radio under his pillow, listening to cassette tapes of his dad's preaching. And he just knew that growing up, he knew that he was going to be a preacher one day. In the documentary, his his brother then joked with them about how much times had changed, and now they're very successful, but now he sleeps with a Valium under his pillow. What a trade. Perhaps the most disturbing part of that story, the lead singer, he told about their rise to fame and to musical success. And it broke my heart to hear him say, he said, as soon as I knew that we were about to get a record deal, I never slept. But all night long, I knew I was going to hell, and I wasn't going to be a preacher. Hell is nothing to joke about. Oh, it's the subject of more religious jokes than any other, but hell is no laughing matter. If hell was a myth, if hell did not exist, then go ahead and laugh about it. But since it isn't, there ought to be a great fear within our hearts over it. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Many today attempt to sidestep the issue of hell. It's just something in our imagination, they say. It's a state of mind, and it's not really a place. And the descriptions of hell in the Bible shouldn't be taken literally, they say. But hell is really, it's just more of a fantasy. David, a man after God's own heart, he spoke of hell in Psalm 99 and 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Oh, that's not popular to hear today, but hell is a fact, and it is nothing to joke about. John the Beloved, he spoke about hell, calling it a bottomless pit. The pit where sinners shall sink through all eternity. The great wine press of the wrath of God. It is a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Jesus himself, of course, God is love, but here's what he said about hell. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Ye serpents, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Depart from me, he said, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He that believeth not shall be damned. The Apostle Paul, a man driven by a great love for sinners, yet he spoke of this place of eternal punishment. He talked about those whose end is destruction, saying the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Hell is called many things in Scripture: a furnace of fire, a bottomless pit, perdition, everlasting burnings, the prison, the pit, falling into the hands of the living God. In the writings of Jude, he says to save some with compassion, but others, he said, we should save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Whether it's with compassion or even if it takes fear today, I take on this task of once again reaching into the inferno of hell fire to try to reach and snatch another one from the flames. Hell is a place that's constantly enlarging itself. But if today we could reach just one, if we could reach just one, if we can win one, if we can warn just one, then it would make our efforts worthwhile. Jesus taught in the text that we read today on the reality of hell. It is a very real place. Three times he warns that it's a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Other translations say it like this: hell is a place where maggots never die and the fire never goes out. What does that mean? Some have likened it to a sinner's own conscience, because the conscience will never die. But as worms will eat at a dead body, so will their conscience prey on their damned soul, but will never be able to completely devour it. And so sinners for eternity will be accusing and condemning and blaming themselves over their stupidity and over their foolishness for not being saved. And the wrath of God will come upon these with a fire that is not quenched. The wrath of the living eternal God, it will never be appeased. The punishment for the wicked being to live forever and ever dying, but to never die, and to forever be in pains and grief that will never cease. Oh, what should our response be to such a situation like this? What did Jesus say? He said, if your hand offends you, you need to cut it off. He said, if your foot offends you, you need to cut it off. If your eye offends you, cut it off. Because it's better to go to heaven with one hand or one foot or one eye than to be cast whole into hell. Let me repeat this here today. Nothing is more important than you escaping hell. Whatever you have to cut off, you need to do it. It's worth it. Whatever you have to give up, come on, give it up. It's worth it. Whatever it takes, we've got to make it to heaven. Oh, come on, somebody needs to hear this preacher here today. Whatever sin keeps you from being ready to go to heaven, you need to cut it away from you so very fast today. Don't let it hang on you one more day. Don't let it affect you one more hour, but you need to repent. You need to cut it away from your life. You need to cut it off today and say, I must be saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to let it destroy me. I'm not going to let it sit there any longer. But I'm cutting it out of my life. Hallelujah. Three times Jesus warns us, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Three times, not. In order to help us understand something as foreign to us as hell, it's described in negative terms. Do you know heaven is described in the same way? It's a place of no night, a place of no corruption. There is no weariness there, no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no cursing, no wicked people, no death. Heaven is a place with no end. These things are missing in heaven. But there are also some things that will be missing in hell. And oh, for those who go there, they will search and they will search for them, but they will never find them because hell is missing some things. The first thing that we will see that's missing in heaven is rest. There will be no rest there. Revelation 14 and 11 tells us, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and who receiveth the mark of his name. There will be no rest there, no rest day nor night, but the smoke of their torment, it will go up forever and ever. There will be no relaxation in hell. No select comfort mattress to rest your weary soul on. The congregation of those who are doomed and damned in hell will have no place of rest. No doctor to ease the suffering. Friends may be there, but they'll not be able to help you. There will be no fun in hell. It will be torment forever and ever. Secondly, we see that there'll be no salvation in hell. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of two men who had drastically different lives in this world. One was a rich man, and he had fabulous clothes. He feasted every day. And on the other hand, there was a beggar named Lazarus. This beggar was covered in sores, and he would lay at the gate of the rich man, and he longed just to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs would come and they'd lick his sores, and both the beggar and the rich man died. And Jesus said the rich man went to hell. We read in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send me Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Oh, there'll be a lot of prayers prayed in hell, but my friend, prayers in hell will not help you. But once in hell, it's too late to pray for help. The time to pray is now. The time to pray is now. The time to seek God is today. The time to repent is now. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. He said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this pastor today, he preaches that same old sermon again. We all need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Once someone is in hell, it's too late for repentance. There is no more salvation. But while we're here today, we're still in the presence of Almighty God. We're still feeling the moving of His Spirit. And today, we must repent. Today, we need to turn away from sin. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. In hell, there will be weeping. There will be gnashing of teeth. There will be sorrow. There will be remorse. Just 1 minute in hell will bring that about. But don't wait until then. Someone needs to weep now. Come on, someone needs to be sorrowful now. Someone needs to repent now, for salvation will be missing in hell. And just as it will be in heaven, there shall be no end. Eternity is endless. Eternity is timeless. Time will be missing in hell. Ecclesiastes talks about there being a time to every purpose, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. But one thing is missing is time in hell, because there'll be no end. It will be forever, a bottomless pit where sinners are falling forever without God. Come on, you've had a nightmare where you've been falling in a bottomless pit? Could I tell you hell is your worst nightmare? It's a lake of fire where sinners are falling forever without God. It's a place of torment, torment without time, anguish with no conclusion, pain that never ceases. Time will be missing in hell. It will go on for eternity. And comfort will be missing there. There will be no comfort. The rich man said, just send Lazarus. Just let him dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. But Lazarus could not come. Oh, there was no water. There was not one single drop. There's no comfort whatsoever. There's no glass of water to meet your thirst. There's nothing to put out the flames. There's no cool cloth to rub your forehead. Those in heaven will be comforted, but those in hell will be tormented in flames. We see these two extremes in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I tell you, there will be no comfort in hell. Amen. But we have comfort today. We have comfort here today. You're sitting on a padded pew. There's nice air conditioning and heat. And oh, this is a comfortable place today. But don't let your soul be comfortable. Someone needs to stir up their soul today. Someone needs to stir their heart today. And make sure that you are ready to go to heaven. And make sure that you get everything out of your life that would take you to hell. Another thing missing in hell praise. There will be no praise of God there. There will be no worship. Heaven will be full of praise. It will be full of worship and for all eternity, but it will be missing in hell. Oh, there will be weeping and wailing. There will be gnashing of teeth. Think of those who will fill hell. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars. Those will be those who are there, and their character will be fixed at death. It will not change for all of eternity. Those who go to hell, who will they be there with? They'll be there with the devil and his angels. It'll be the worst nightmare on any street possible. You can't even imagine what it's like to be around those filthy spirits, those filthy people. For all of eternity, it will be cursing and vile language and perversion all around and blasphemy against God. There'll be no encouraging words there. There won't be anyone to say, hey, you can make it. No one will tell you, hey, I'm in this thing with you. No one will be saying, we can do this together, but just one filthy expletive after another, endless rantings and ravings from tongues set on fire in hell, and in their bitterness and in contempt, in their enmity against God, in their hate and their fury, clawing one another, gnashing with their teeth like wild animals. Oh, there'll be no praise. It'll be missing in heaven, in hell. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to praise God right now. Come on, that makes me want to lift him up right now. Oh, that makes me want to give him glory and praise and honor. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Lord, I love to worship. I love to praise you. I love to lift up your name. Lord, I want to do this for all eternity. I want to magnify you. I want to give you glory. I want to lift my hands. I want to dance in the spirit. I want to lift my voice with praise and worship unto you. Hallelujah. Hey, for those who hate worship and praise, maybe they're okay with going to hell, but not me, not you. Come on, is there anybody here? You want to be sure that you give God all the praise. You give him all the worship. You don't want to be guilty of holding back, but Lord, I'm going to give you everything. A sixth thing that will be missing in hell. Jesus said there's a great gulf fixed, and there's no passing over. There will be no escape in hell. There will be no exit. There will be no way out. The gates of hell swing wide, but they swing only one way. Oh, they let a multitude in, but they don't let anyone out. There'll be no second chance. There'll be no early release. There'll be no escaping punishment. It will be everlasting. There will be no escape in hell. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica that Jesus Christ delivers us from the wrath to come. Once you're in hell, it's too late. But there is a way today. There is an escape now. There is a deliverance here now. Hell is a very real thing, just as is heaven, just as the word of God is forever established. And if we want to escape hell, it's up to what we do today, because there'll be no escape route in hell. But today, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Today, Lord, what do I need to do to make it to heaven? Today, God, what is it that I've got to do to make sure I miss out on hell? Oh, on the day of Pentecost, they cried out to Peter in conviction and said, tell us what we need to do. And he said, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. No sermon about hell should omit that scripture right there. But what must I do to be saved? I need to repent of my sin. I need to put it on the altar. God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my mistakes. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to do those things anymore. And you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to go down in that water and be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ so you can rise in newness of life. And you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God that will be inside of you to quicken your mortal body and take you to heaven. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized. And you've got to be filled with the Spirit. Amen, amen. Before we leave here today, we're going to have a time of prayer in just a moment. And I believe that every single person in this house can leave here knowing that you've repented, that you've been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, that you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can go knowing today that you've made preparations to miss out on hell. Matthew 25 and 31 tells us, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then reading on in Matthew 25, 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The only way for us to make it is to be sure we are numbered with the sheep. If we're numbered with the goats, then we're going to be separated from God, cursed into everlasting fire. The place that was made for the devil and his angels. That's not where I want to be. That's not where you want to go. And that's why I prayed. Oh, I pray, I plead with God. I plead with us here today. I pray that there's one more thing missing from hell. And that's you and that's me. That's you and that's me. Oh, God. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what it takes. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus. Oh, I pray there's one more thing missing from hell, and that's every single one of us here today. Amen. As the old song says, Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. Oh, in a service like this, I pray that none of us would be unmoved, but every single heart would be in unity here today to say, God, I must be saved. I must be saved. I must be saved. Jesus said, if anything's holding you back, if there's something that would cause you to go to hell, it's better for you to cut that out of your life. To miss out on some things. Oh, maybe you cut off a little bit too much, but it's okay if you get to go to heaven. Oh, it's okay to be lacking some things in this world and still be able to make it to heaven than to have everything that this world can give you and go to hell. There's some things that we all know that it's a temptation to us. Maybe it's not for everybody else, but for us. There's some things that would lead us close to the world. It would lead us toward the world, and direction matters. It may not be that it's totally ungodly or sin for everybody, but it leads us in that direction. And if it means that it's going to cause our direction to head towards hell, oh, God forbid, cut it off. Cut it out of your life. Maybe it's something about holiness. Maybe it's not real specific in the Bible, but we know for us that would lead us closer to the things of the world. Whatever it is, it's not important enough for us to go to hell over. I don't care what we have to give up. It doesn't matter what it is. If cutting that out of our life means that we escape hell, then it's worth whatever the cost. Come on, someone here today, you need to hear this pastor. You need to hear the words of Jesus. You need to heed the moving of the Spirit of God today. There's nothing in this world that's worth going to hell over. And if it's anything that's just kind of iffy, it's just kind of on the border, it's, well, it, you know, it could maybe be a bad influence. Anything that could possibly cause you to miss out with God, we need to get it out of our lives. For above all else, I must be saved. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Somebody say that. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For above all else, God, I must be saved. I don't care what you have to do to me. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what I have to give up. I don't care what I have to do to serve you, Lord. Above all else, I must be saved. That is the only goal that I have in life. I must be saved. I must be saved. You know, people put a lot of pressure on their kids. They want them to be this or that, go to this school or be involved with that. No, I want them to be successful. And yes, I want that. But Daniel, I want to tell you what. I don't care what you do. I just want you to be saved. Come on. Above all else, we've got to be saved. Colt, I want to tell you what. You've got awesome abilities. And be thankful for God's calling upon your life. And you've got talent. And you've got all these things that are abilities God has given you. And yes, I want you to be successful. And you could go and do that. But above all else, I want you to be saved. Hallelujah. Daniel, I want to tell you, you've got some natural ability. You can hit that softball. You can hit it a long ways, farther than I've ever thought about hitting it. And you can dunk a basketball, and that's awesome. But I want to tell you what, there's some things that are more important than that. And above all else, I've got to be saved. Hallelujah. Brooklyn, I know God's hand is on your life, and I know you're trying to figure out some things where you're going and all of this right now, and God's going to lead you, and He's going to open the doors, and I'm excited about that. But I want to tell you, there's something more important than going far in this world, and that is saying, I am saved, and I'm headed to heaven, and I'm not going to hell no matter what. And Lorne, she stepped out, but I want to tell you, Lorne, God has a calling upon our life, and the enemy is trying to pull us, and the enemy is trying to destroy us. But above all else, we got to say, no, I'm living for God. I'm going to put His work first. I'm going to go to heaven. If you're a parent here today, don't you be guilty of putting too much pressure on your kid to be a success as this world looks at it. But you say, you know what? My kids have got to go to heaven. My kids have got to put God first. My kids have got to be in the house of God. It's more important for me to go to church than it is for me to be a success in this world. There's some parents, they give kids everything that this world can offer, and they say, I want you to be involved in this, and I want you to be a success in this. But the most important thing you can do, parent, every time there's youth service, have your kids there. Every time there's a Bible study, have your kids on the front row. Every time there's prayer meeting, you bring your family with you, and you teach them how to pray. I'll never forget. Told you about this before. I don't know if it was a vision. I don't know if it was a dream. It's been about 10 years ago. There was a man in the town, the city where we pastored in Texas, and I had reached for him. He used to be in the church. His whole family used to be in the church, and now he's backslid.
in that dream or that vision, whatever it was, I was hanging over a cliff. And my arm was hurting because I had him by the hand. And below him, I could see a lake of fire. And I'm holding on to him. And it wasn't just him, but there hanging and dangling from him was his family. And they were headed to hell, and I was reaching for them. And I just couldn't hardly do it, and I was trying to hold on. God reminded me of that yesterday. I want to tell you, there's people that are hanging on you. There's people that are hanging on you and your decisions and your walk with God and your faithfulness to the kingdom and your church attendance and your prayer life. Every single one of us have someone that's hanging on us. Oh, I wonder if we could make this place a prayer room right now and say, above all else, I must be saved, but God, help me to save my family. Help me to save my neighbors. Help me to save my friends. Come on, there should be some weeping here. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell, but there ought to be some weeping in this house. There ought to be some discomfort in this place. There ought to be some hearts that cry out and say, oh God, whatever you have to do to me, I must be saved. I'm not going to hell. My family's not going to hell. We're going to live for God. We're going to make it to heaven.